this reading of City View. I'm Eileen Bowerman. City View is an alternative monthly published in Des Moines. This reading is the first episode from the April 2024 issue of City View. And our first article today is The Civic Skinny. It's by the City View staff. Headlines are Des Moines Workers Balance Work and Life. Hogs top domesticated animal list in Iowa. Water quality in Iowa lakes is a concern. The citizens of Des Moines have some of the best work-life balance in the country, according to a study by CoworkingCafe.com. With the 32-hour work week proposed recently by Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders and mentioned under hushed tones by office workers who are slacking off at water coolers, work-life balance is on the minds of many workers. The study analyzed a range of metrics split into four different categories: mental health, affordability, remote work, and commute time. Mental health accounts for 40%, affordability 30%, remote work 20%, and commute time 10%. With 100 large U.S. cities involved, the Midwest dominated the top 10, taking 7 of the spots. Des Moines snuck its way into the top 10, taking 10th, 5 spots below where it placed in last year's study. Des Moines' low cost of living helped it in this study, ranking 2nd in the affordability metric among all cities. According to the study, Des Moines' cost of living is 14% lower than the national average. Des Moines ranked 7th in average commute time, with an average drive to work at 19.5 minutes. The 34.4 acres of green space in Des Moines ranked 15th in the subcategory. And with 93.7% of the city's population having health insurance, that placed Des Moines at 16th in the best coverage rate category. Minneapolis took the top spot in the survey. Using data from the 2022 USDA Ag Census and PEP data, researcher John Johnson from the Marquette Law School Luber Center created a map showing the most common domesticated animals by country in 2022. 11 species were included in the map. Importantly, 2 of them were humans, who domesticated themselves, and hogs. 6 of Iowa's most populated counties are home to more humans than other domesticated animals: Polk, Warren, Marion, Mills, Woodbury, and Lynn. According to the map, the most common domesticated animals in 68 Iowa counties are hogs. Chickens are tops in 12 counties, cattle in 7, and turkeys in 6. National Puppy Day occurred on March 23rd. While dogs don't outnumber pigs in our state, they are better to cuddle with. Camp Bow Wow, a franchise dog boarding company, compiled data on the most popular dog names in Iowa, and you won't find Rover, Spot, or Duke in the top 5. Luna was listed as number 1, followed by Winston, Jack, Piper, and Molly. Alliance, a nonprofit organization that focuses on after-school programs, announced its list of ambassadors for its after-school ambassador program. Legacy of Leadership. Linda Phillips, the after-school program manager at the 21st Century Community Center Learning Center and Metro Kids, they were included in the list of 15 names chosen from around the country. I've seen firsthand the many ways these programs help students and families overcome challenges. That's especially important now, Phillips said. Many of our students have ground to make up, and after-school programs can help them do that. Each ambassador organizes a major event for Lights On After School, the Alliance's annual rally for after school, it's set to take place on or around October 24th. The American Legion, Post 374, located in Highland Park on 3712 Second Avenue, was preparing to host families at their Sunday-Friday event on November 19th with kid-friendly bingo and crafts. The Legionnaires, who were working hard on a loud roar, when they turned their heads to look at the north wall of the building, they saw a Dodge Ram truck poking inside. Nobody was hurt, but after the vehicle was towed away, a large hole remained in Post 374's wall. The accident brought the Legion's activities and fundraisers, such as Friday night bingo games, wedding receptions, to a halt. A number of scheduled rentals had to be relocated due to the accident. With the repairs to the building complete, the Legion can now return to normalcy with hopes to rebuild their finances. Highland Park Commander Jim McLellan hopes that through their events, they'll be able to regain the revenue they lost to repairs and the pause in activities. These events and others support required funding, and Post 374 is getting back onto its feet now that we don't have a big hole in our wall, McLellan says. We invite anyone to come and have a fun night at bingo, or consider renting our hall. We thank all who have supported us in the past and hope to see you all again soon, and bring a friend. You might want to table that trip to your local river, stream, or lake. According to a recent report from the Iowa Department of Natural Resources, at least 721 water body segments of Iowa do not meet water quality standards for recreation, public water supplies, and the protection of aquatic life. The DNR created an interactive map showing the bodies of water in Iowa, colored red for Category 5 and yellow for Category 4, that are all considered impaired. Well, if there's any good news in this report, it is that the number of impaired bodies of water decreased from the 2022 study. Our next column is by Randy Evans, Stray Thoughts. Regardless of party, irresponsible is still irresponsible. Democrat Katie Porter's comments after losing the recent California primary election for an open U.S. Senate seat were outlandish and baseless. Like many people who call this state home, I have long taken an interest in the careers and achievements of people who have gotten their start in Iowa. As a kid, I was fascinated to walk through that two-room cottage in West Branch, knowing a president of the United States, Herbert Hoover, was born there. Having grown up at the start of the space age, I have marveled at the achievements of Peggy Whitson, whose record-breaking space career was launched in Beaconsfield and the public schools of Mount Air. And more recently, I've been amazed by the talents of Caitlin Clark, the University of Iowa basketball wizard who has drawn attention from fans around the globe. All of this may help explain why I have paid more than passing attention to Democrat Katie Porter, a member of the U.S. House of Representatives from California, and why I was greatly disappointed by her outlandish, baseless comments after she lost the recent California primary election for a U.S. Senate seat. Porter's roots run back to the soil of southern Iowa, a few counties west of where I came from. Now 50, she grew up on a farm outside of Creston during the farm crisis of the 1980s. Her father, Dan, was a farmer and banker. Her mother, Liz, is the Porter of Fonz and Porter's Love of Quilting magazine and public television fame. Katie Porter received her bachelor's degree from Yale University and her law degree from Harvard University. Being elected to Congress in 2018, she interned for U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley and later taught law, including several years at the University of Iowa, before she moved on to the University of California, Irvine Law School. In Congress, the mother of three quickly developed a reputation as a member whose focus was on consumers and middle-class Americans, not the well-heeled interests of corporations and their executives. Using a whiteboard and marker to make her points on or highlight evidence, she proved to be an aggressive, effective interrogator of government officials and corporate executives when they were called to testify at congressional hearings. Along the way, she also wrote a best-selling book called I Swear, Politics is Messier Than My Minivan, that bears the license plate OVRSITE, Oversight. Porter has many fans. Actress Whoopi Goldberg wrote on the dust jacket of the book, "When Representative Katie Porter speaks, I know she knows what she's talking about and gives it to you straight up." It is because of Porter's reputation as a no-nonsense speaker that I was especially disappointed by her comments following her loss to another California Democrat, Adam Schiff, in the March 5th primary election. Porter spouted off following her loss, sounding too much like a former president. She said billionaires had rigged the election in Schiff's favor through what she called dishonest means, a reference to ads critical of her that were paid for by interest groups favoring Schiff. Porter could have thanked voters who supported her. She could have expressed her appreciation to voters in her House district who had chosen her to represent them for the past 6 years. She could have congratulated Schiff and wished him well in the November election when he faces Republican Steve Garvey, a former Major League Baseball player. She could have accepted her defeat with grace and gone home to rest and reflect on what she wants to do in the next chapter of her life, the way farmers in Iowa reflect on how low crop prices or lousy weather. You can dislike the campaign finance laws, as Porter does. You can believe political groups have outsized voices because of their ability to spend staggering amounts of so-called dark money, as Porter does. And you can believe you would have been a better senator than Schiff, as Porter surely does. Using words like rigged and dishonest is wrong in so many ways, as anyone who has been listening for the past 4 years understands. A Harvard-educated lawyer with Southern Iowa common sense should understand that. Porter should realize her rash comments made without evidence only help to further undermine public confidence in our election system. The comments have seriously ended her reputation as an important voice in American politics and have added to the unhealthy rhetoric that saturates our nation. Her angry words are all too reminiscent of comments by people like Donald Trump, Arizona's Carrie Lake, an Eldridge, Iowa native, by the way, MyPillow founder Mike Lindell, and other Republicans who continued to make fact-free claims Trump defeated Joe Biden in 2020. Steve Schlail, a longtime Democratic strategist in Florida, told PolitiFact, a political news and fact-checking website, "There is nothing more important to our democracy than people acknowledging they lose elections." Michael Thorning of the Bipartisan Policy Center, a nonprofit organization, wrote on the social media site formerly known as Twitter that Porter's comments were completely irresponsible and unserious. Too often we Americans are quick to point out the flaws and mistakes by politicians we oppose, but are too blind to similar flaws and mistakes by politicians we support. Katie Porter's embarrassing display after this month's election should not be defended by her fellow Democrats any more than Trump's post-election nonsense should be defended by his fellow Republicans. Irresponsible is still irresponsible, regardless of the party affiliation of the person making such wild accusations. And that was by Randy Evans. He can be reached at dmrevans2810@gmail.com. Here's the Ask City View column. This is again by the City View staff. Ask City View anything by emailing them at editor@dmcityview.com. So the first question was, what exactly does Heartland AEA do? The Heartland Area Education Association is the central and partially eastern Iowa area under Iowa's Area Education Association. The counties included in the Heartland area are Carroll, Audubon, Guthrie, Dallas, Boone, Madison, Story, Warren, Marion, Jasper, and of course Polk. Some of what the Heartland AEA does involves school community planning, professional development, support curriculum, instruction, and assessment to improve student learning, ensure diverse learning needs are met, support services that are multicultural, gender fair, provide media services, school technology services, while providing leadership and management for schools. AEAs were created to provide equitable, efficient, and economic services and serve all public and accredited non-public schools. Even before a student enters the education system, AEAs provide services through early access to give children and families the building blocks and skills to meet milestones and lifelong goals, said Caitlin DeMoss, Heartland AEA Professional Learning Registrar, in a submitted article. While Governor Kim Reynolds' original bill to overhaul Iowa's AEAs, HSB 542, stalled after several amendments, House File 2612 made its way through the Iowa legislature. And as of March 27th, the Iowa Senate has passed House File 2612 and sent it to Governor Reynolds' desk. Should Governor Reynolds sign the bill, there will be no changes in AEA funding in the upcoming school year. The following year, however, AEAs will receive 90% of the funding they currently receive for special education services, with the other 10% going to school districts, and school districts will have control over all the state funding for media and general education services that currently go to the AEAs. And another question for City View. Do Drake Relays tickets continue to sell out? The Drake Relays have become a massive event in Des Moines. While track and field doesn't have the popularity of football, wrestling, or basketball, in Iowa, the Drake Relays do pull in thousands of attendees each year to watch some of the best track talents in Iowa and around the country. According to the Drake University publication, Drake Relays, 75 Years of Excellence, the first relays were held in 1910 with 100 attendees and 82 athletes, all of which were from Iowa high schools and colleges. By 1922, the event had grown to 2 days with more than 10,000 spectators. A lane expansion in 2006 shortened capacity from 18,000 seats to 14,557. The relays had no problems selling out prior to 2006, and this change certainly didn't hurt. According to a press release from Drake University after the 2023 relays, the event was sold out for the 56th time in a row. There's little doubt that the event this year, held on April 24th through the 27th, will extend the streak to 57. And the final question, how will the increase in teachers' salaries be funded? Teachers' salaries may increase under a bill that recently passed through the Iowa House of Representatives. The bill, House File 2611, would raise a teacher's starting salary to $47,500 in the first year and to $50,000 in the second year. A large portion of the funding for the raise in salaries is coming from the state government. The bill allocates $22 million to supplement the salaries of experienced teachers and $14 million to help schools increase pay for support staff. The sound circuit is by Jackie Wilson. This month it's Valair's Marvelous Venue. The first concert at Historic Ballroom is a success. Local music lovers and concert goers enthusiastically embrace the newly remodeled Valair Ballroom, which reopened for its first concert on February 29th. The Valair, an 80-year-old iconic ballroom located at 301 Ashworth in West Des Moines, recently completed a $15 million renovation. As I had attended concerts at the old Valair, I was eager to check out the refurbished venue. Turns out I wasn't the only one, as concert numbers soared. The inaugural concert was on Leap Day by Green Sky Bluegrass Band, with opener High Hawks. Tickets were about $30 plus fees for general admission. Pulling into the Valair parking lot, I just missed the last spot. A nearby lot didn't post a no parking sign, so I pulled in. Parking at Valair is free until April 1. After that, it's $10. Walking from my car, I couldn't hear the High Hawks playing. Were they taking a break already? Turns out, the money owner, Sam Summers, spent on insulating the concert noise worked, keeping the Valair neighborhood happy. Walking through automatic metal detectors was a breeze. Since I arrived at the middle of the show, there was no line. Walking upstairs to the venue, I pondered how accessible it was for a wheelchair-bound folk. A staff member escorts people to go around to a side ramp. Tickets were scanned quickly, where I entered in the back of the ballroom. Among the pink and green retro decor, the Valair retains its classic feel, and it's not as industrial-looking as big venues. For thirsty patrons, there are two large bar areas plus a portable bar toward the back of the stage. More than a dozen staff members doled out drinks at each bar. Once again, there was little to no wait time to get a drink. Draft beer prices start at $6. A Tito's, red wine, and a Coors Light each cost about $9. If you pay cash, it was $27. Otherwise, the charge card was $28.89. Save a few bucks and bring some cash or use the nearby ATM. A water bottle was reusable for $2, and ample drinking fountains were available. A raised VIP section to the right of the stage offered paid seating options. Several empty chairs and tables near the back weren't reserved and didn't cost extra. Admittedly, I'm a sometimes concert sitter, so I like the option. But then, who could sit once Green Sky Bluegrass took the stage? I made it to a shiny wood floor standing with friendly and carefree bluegrass crowds. The lighting was top-notch, resembling a mini Wells Fargo arena. The acoustics were spot-on. Bluegrass music might not generate booming bass, but the sound wasn't screeching loud, nor did I near earplugs. It's deniably the best sound I'd heard at a concert venue of this size. While standing on the ballroom floor, I witnessed at least a half dozen people, all sober, trip on the step from the upper level to the dance floor. When walking from the ballroom floor, you step up about a half a foot, and you can see a few lights on the step. However, when you're stepping down, you don't see the lights. As with any concert, there are those who attempt to dance with a full beer in their hand. After a man spilled his gear, another guy dance-mopped the beer and the puddle were gone. This just adds to the ambiance of your shoes sticking to the floor. Derek Knight attended the concert with his wife, Amber. Both were High Hawks fans and sat toward the back. Derek attended dozens of concerts prior to the remodel, saying, "I'm really excited for the new venue. Everyone wanted to tear it down. He, the owner, took measures to change the sound," he says. "It's amazing. I'll be back." Chatting with patrons, nearly all gushed They all nearly gushed over the new venue. Old-timers liked the shorter lines, additional bathrooms, and how roomy it was. Newcomers were eager to return. The Val Air, in its 8 decades of glory, provided a sound, solid music venue. Today, the Val Air embraces its iconic history, greeting old friends and caring for a new set of fans. Welcome back. And there's a picture of Derek Knight. He's got a red and green plaid shirt on and kind of a beige baseball cap. He's got a big black-rimmed glasses and a white beard, and he has a smile on his face. And in the background, it's Knight. It's all black, but in bright neon letters, it says Val Air. And then there's a slanted ballroom in red neon. And across the front, in cursive, it's a purple neon sign dancing. And that was the Val Air's marvelous venue. And that does it for this episode of City View. We've been reading from the April 2024 issue. Thanks for sharing your time with IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind and Print Handicapped. If you have any questions about this or any other IRIS program, give us a call at 515-243-6833. And thanks again for listening.